Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this Shabbat. Thank you for your presence here with us today already. Thank you for the words of encouragement and edification that we've received already, the words of instruction from the Scriptures. And I ask that you will instruct us through the teaching and preaching of your word. I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and humility to be able to present your truth, to communicate what you want to have us understand and hear. I pray. I ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. That's what this 3-year-old daughter of one of my old carpool members said to me whenever I would catch her eye in the mirror while I was sitting in the front seat after she'd pick her up from the daycare center. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. I wasn't allowed to look at her face. I guess I didn't have the right to. She didn't know me very well, and so I was not granted the privilege of gazing upon her cute little face. At least I hope that's the reason. It wasn't because I was so ugly and so disfigured that she couldn't stand to see me in the reflection either. You know, so. How many of you parents have ever witnessed one of your own children hiding their face from you when they have been caught red-handed doing something in disobedience? How many scenes have been viewed by us of our youngsters running into their bedroom and burying their face in a pillow because they don't want their embarrassment and humiliation to be seen? Are we so different than our children when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father? We hide our faces too when we come face to face with our own sin. And this is the last Shabbat before the days of awe begin. The season of reflection is about to begin at the sounding of the shofar next Thursday, culminating in the great day of repentance and the receipt of our atonement, now made possible at any time through the blood of Messiah Yeshua. When God hides his face from us because of our disobedience, it is a fearsome thing. Yet at the end of every service, we ask God to make his face shine upon us. The title of my message today is Seeking His Face. Seeking His Face. Today's Torah portion contains a prophetic word from Moshe as he addresses the people of Israel just before his death. He prophesies that one day they will forsake the Lord and turn from the covenant, at which point the Lord would hide his face from them. With the high holy days upon us, we need to be seeking God's face so that it will shine upon us with his favor and blessing. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are about restoring God's face shining upon us individually and collectively. The text I've chosen for today is from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the verse many are familiar with. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. My theme today is to encourage and inspire us to seek God's face during the high holy day season. To seek his face during the season coming up. So therefore, I'd like to explore this theme by examining the following. First, we're looking at the shining face of Adonai. Secondly, at when he hides his face from us. And thirdly, our need to seek his face. So let's look first at his shining face. Last week I was at the beach down at the Outer Banks for a wonderful week of relaxation and rest and picking out at all my favorite restaurants. And I had iced tea intravenously at the beach. Anyway, one of the mornings, my son-in-law and I would get up early because we'd have to go down there to claim our spot on the beach. You know, we'd go set up the canopy we have and our chairs to claim our spots. One of the mornings it happened to be, it was so light out, I couldn't believe it, early. But the sun hadn't even come up yet. It was still light out, really. And then all of a sudden I see the orange glow of the sun coming up over the horizon of the water. Beautiful. The sun wasn't even shining in its fullness yet, but still was giving light to the whole area. So it is with God's face. We don't see it really, but it shines and bright and brightens us all. The first example, characteristic I'd like to look at is that in reality, God's face is not visible to us. We can't really see it. We read from Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 through 13, where Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock, and where my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." So the face of God is we're not allowed to be viewed. I think it's for our own protection in reality. Because in our current human state, in our unglorified bodies, we couldn't handle it. You know, it'd probably just vaporize us, you know. So he protects us, just like you can't look full straight into the sun. But we have glimpses of what his appearance is like from Scripture. We read in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. Daniel says, "As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool." Now I'm glad I'm progressing toward being like God, you know. Paul's already joined that here. And my father-in-law and others are on the way. We're made in his image. We want to be like him. His hair was white as wool. At least he had hair. You know, I mean, God has hair at least. You know. The Uchiyamas used to prescribe a seaweed treatment, but it never really worked for me. So Anyway, the hair on his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then he continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. And I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority but were allowed to live for a period of time. Isn't this amazing? We're reading the book of Daniel here, not the book of Revelation. The beast, and all these things that are so prevalent, the book of Revelation. "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." See, with this glimpse of God we have here, he's all clothed in white, white as wool, his hair, his head is like wool, white, blaze of fire and brightness. And we see the Son of Man associated with him. The Son of Man is there with the Ancient of Days. And then fast forwarding to the book of Revelation, we have another picture that's very similar in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, when John has his vision. He said, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he had held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I got out my iPhone and texted all my friends that I had just seen him." "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead." Here we see the Son of Man associated again with the Ancient of Days. Yeshua himself, his head and hair were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. And his face shone like the sun, shining in its brilliance. And then we see another picture of Yeshua at his transfiguration, this incredible mystical event that takes place in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 2. After 6 days, Yeshua took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Yeshua transfigured before them into his glory, face shining like white, bright like the sun. His face would shine like the sun. So these are some glimpses of God's face that we see. But what are the benefits of this shining face? There's 7 quick benefits here. I think I have a chart up here now here. These are $1.50 after the service. If you'd like a copy, just see me. The first benefit I see is that of intimacy and relationship with God. Exodus 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And we're so familiar with the story of when Moses went up on the mountain and then came back down and his face was shining. Remember? He had to put the veil over his face because it was shining so brightly. And so it is when we come into the presence of God. It's sort of like the moon reflecting the sun. The moon itself doesn't generate any light, but it's shining because it's reflecting the light of the sun. And so we too are doing that. We don't generate light ourselves. The light that we reflect into the world is coming from the Father, from Yeshua, shining on us and then reflecting back to the world that we live in. You know that sometimes the brightness of the moon can be so bright that I come from Niagara Falls, New York, is where I lived, and it's well known that there's a mist always around the falls, or constant mist, so there's, when the sun is shining, there's constant rainbows in the mist. Well, at nighttime, sometimes there are rainbows formed by the moon. Moonbows, they call them and stuff. I've never actually seen one myself, but I've read about it. The moon can still shine that brightly, and so we can still reflect God in that way. So the greatest benefit, I think, of his shining face is that we can know him, have intimacy and relationship with him. And when we have been with him, we reflect his glory to others. The second one is that of salvation. Psalm 80, verse 7, restore us, O God Almighty, make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. This verse is quoted 3 times in this psalm, by the way. We have prosperity and goodness from God. In Psalm 4, 6, many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. He teaches us by his face. In Psalm 119, 135, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees. He upholds us in Psalm 11, verse 7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. We'll see his face. There's joy from his face in Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Your countenance, his reflection. We know the joyful sound. And finally, maybe the second greatest benefit is our sin is revealed in his face. Psalm 90, verse 8. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. That really is a good thing. Who else do you want to know your sin? Let my sin be revealed to him. He's the great judge. He's the great one who provides atonement. So it's good. It's a good thing not to be feared, because we want to be reconciled to him. So those are 7 quick benefits of why his shining face is so wonderful to us. And at the conclusion of every Jewish service, Numbers chapter 6 is said, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. That's one of my greatest joys and privileges at the end of every service is to participate in the Aaronic benediction. He says, I will bless you and be gracious to you and give you peace. not too shabby, right? I mean, it's not too bad. Not too bad a benefit. The wondrous face shines. We have all these benefits that come from it. So we've looked at a shining face. So given all these benefits, it's obvious what happens if God hides his face. All those benefits start decreasing. What causes him to hide his face from us? It's sin, we read in Psalm 51, verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. In Micah 3, 4 says, then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time because they have been evil in their deeds. So when we're in sin and evil, God's face turns from us. If we walk in unrepentant sin, we'll begin to lose that relationship and closeness with him. This not only applies at the personal level, it also can happen at the national level. As it happened to Israel, we read in Isaiah 8:17. And I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. So God had turned his face from the whole house of Jacob. And we even get this from our Torah portion from today in Deuteronomy 31, verses 16 through 18 that I alluded to earlier when Moses is prophesying. He says, behold, you will rest with your fathers. God says to Moses, and this people will rise up and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods. It is a horrible thing to happen to us when God turns his face from us individually or as a nation. Are we having the sense, even in our own country, that God is turning his face? The shining of his face upon us and all the blessings and benefits. So then what's it like? What happens if God turns his face from us? What happens? Well, we start to become, he may become angry in Psalm 27, verse 9. David says, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Do not become angry with me or hide your face. Another problem is he may forget us in Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? If God hides his face, it's like we're forgotten. You've forgotten me. Psalm 44, 24 says, why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? He not only can be angry with us or forget us, he can not even be there in a time of trouble. Psalm 69, 17 says, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. In Psalm 104, 29, do not hide your face. They are troubled. You take away their breath. They die and return to dust. Don't we need him in our time of trouble? When something suddenly comes upon us, it's amazing. Oh God, help me! It's better if we're walking with him continually and it's an open relationship. Sometimes God's wrath can fall upon us too. In Revelation 6, 16, it says, and he said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And lastly, the greatest loss is that of relationship and intimacy and closeness with God. You read in Isaiah 50, verse 6. Prophetically, I think Isaiah is seeing Yeshua here. He says, I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. And I think that's what happened to Yeshua. at that moment on the tree in Matthew 27, 45 through 46, where he says, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about that ninth hour, Yeshua cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" I believe that what happened is for the first time ever, Yeshua experienced God turning his face from him. We in our pea brains can't comprehend what that is like. What we suffered on the tree. There was so much more happening there than just a guy getting cut up, beat up, nailed up there and bled a little bit, died and got and rose up 3 days later. There was so much more going on there. Our minds cannot comprehend the sin of the world. We can't even comprehend our own sin, let alone everybody in this room, let alone everybody in this Newington area. And on it goes. That's the thing that always amazes me. A number of years ago when I started flying with the government on trips for different places, and I'd fly over see huge cities. There's Chicago down here now. It's like suddenly I had a glimpse of God loves all these people, millions and millions of people. And I live in my own little world, you know. And that's just this country, let alone the whole world. But Yeshua, for a moment, the face of God was turned from him. So that's the danger of God hiding his face from us. But of course, we all know we should be seeking his face. Hence the title of the message. So we've looked at the benefits of his shining face and what happens if he hides his face. But we are urged to seek his face always. And Psalm 24, verse 6. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. We are the ones who seek your face, Lord. Psalm 27, verse 8. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." In Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Seeking his face. Remember we read how Moses spoke to God face to face. He had the greatness of intimacy and closeness with God. And although it is not a scripture, we sang it in the song today. It's just amazing how that worked out, that that guy picked this song. It's like he knew what was going to be talked about it. There's a line in the song that says, "We do not seek your hand, but we seek your face." It's not really a scripture that I could find that says that concisely, but it's a beautiful thought. Isn't it been said often that those of a well-trained dog would sit at its master's feet and just watch his hand? As soon as his hand moves, it'll jump, it'll do whatever it commands. Because it's the hand that feeds. So when it's this truth is that do we seek him for his gifts to us, for his benefit, for all his blessing? And that's good. We can't divorce ourselves from that. That is a reality and a truth. You know, no, I don't want any of the blessings. Of course it's true, but do we seek him for relationship? We do seek your face, just not your hand. You know, it's like your kids come to you, "Hey, Dad, get the wallet out." We seek the wallet, not your face. I don't care what you think. I want some tokens to go play Miss Pac-Man. I guess I'm dating myself here. Our text today is from, again, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And this is, I think, should be the verse that summarizes the whole high holy day season. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." How do we do this? In the 21st century United States of America, I'm not talking about back in biblical times, I'm not talking about living in a shtetl somewhere in Eastern Europe. I'm talking about living right now in Washington, D.C. on this last day of August in 2013. How do we seek the face of God? My answers are nothing new. Same old boring stuff. I have no new reflection, no new truth to give you on how you seek his face. But the first thing is, we have to have the right kind of mindset and attitude. Are we in fear? Are we somehow subtly afraid of seeking God's face because we're not really in right standing with him? We're sort of afraid of the intimacy and closeness of being with God. It's happened to me. Because sin separates us from God, and we feel it consciously and subconsciously, and we somehow feel we're undeserving because I'm so bad. You know, I could never deserve it, Lord. But the ways we seek his face are simple as usual, personally and corporately. Personally, prayer by yourself or with other people as well in a group. Through Bible reading, we seek his face through reading the scripture and studying it. We seek his face through worship, privately and in services like this. I'd like to make a comment about worship. I grew up in the church my whole life. I never really discovered what worship was until I really honestly came to the Messianic movement. Now, there's sometimes this word gets absorbed into everything else. Prayer is really worship, too. We're really worshiping when we pray. We're really worshiping when we're reading the Bible. We're really worshiping when we have fellowship. We're really worshiping when we give our tithes and offerings. Yes, it's true to a degree. But there's a whole new dimension and element that to me was life-changing because I became a, quote, worship leader. It is an emotional connection with God, free of other responsibilities, really. We can focus on who he is. See, prayer to me, in its classic definition, is bringing your petitions and requests and intercessions for specific things. Yes, prayer can be, also you can be dwelling with him, and that can be worship too. But I think there is a truth here. There is an emotional component to our connecting with God that comes through music, that comes through letting everything go and consciously seeking his presence, seeking his face. Not just singing a song. The whole world just sings songs. Worship to me is a desire to connect with him. And then another angle is that if we can have our Havara fellowships, small groups that we can gather together and seek his face together in small groups with our friends. Corporately, how do we do this as a body? How do we all seek his face? We seek him through prayer all together here, for interceding for petitions and for requests. For my wife today, I'm thankful to you all. We've sent it out over the last months to the intercessory prayer chain. We're so grateful and thankful for that prayer. You've been seeking his face for us. And I'm sure all of you have experienced that as well. We have teaching. We have teaching of the Word of God here as a way of seeking his face. We have worship available here. In many varied forms. We attend services where we have gathered together on Shabbat and on feast days that God has ordained that we come together to worship him, seeking his face. Don't be too hard on yourself, though. Because if you've been like me, you'll find out it's never been enough. I can't always seek his face. We live in reality. We live in the world that we live. We have jobs, we have spouses, we have children, we have families, we're students, a whole host of responsibilities that we have. Are we always consciously walking around? You know, when I'm at work and I'm going from one desk to another, I go like this, you know. I'm seeking your face, Lord. That's why I've changed jobs so frequently, because we're not consciously seeking his face. We have to do our job and we have to do our roles in life. So don't be too hard on yourself. We're not, all of our time is spent consciously seeking the face of God. That's okay. But we do need to make time for it. It grows and evolves over your life as your life shifts and responsibilities change as you grow and mature in life. When you're a young mother with 5 kids hanging around you and you can't even go to the restroom without somebody hanging around you and have no privacy, you're not seeking God's face other than, what are you doing to me? So it can be difficult and challenging, but we need to be faithful and we need to make every attempt possible that we can. We should be desiring the shining face of our Lord. We should be increasingly drawn to him and find our ultimate satisfaction, comfort, and joy there in seeking his face. When the little girl from my old carpool refused to give me permission to look at her, it was because I didn't have the proper level of relationship and intimacy with her. I didn't know her that well, and she didn't want to grant me the privilege of seeing her face. Thankfully, our Heavenly Father does not feel the same way. My theme today has been to encourage and inspire us to seek God's face during a high holy day season. We looked at his shining face and the benefits of what happens if he hides his face from us, and we've looked at some ways to seek his face. My text has been 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I think that promise is still alive today, not only for us in America, but for Israel and for every nation on the face of the earth. Acting upon this verse is what the shofar sound in just this coming Thursday morning's Rosh Hashanah service is all about. At the sound of the shofar, we are awakened and focus our attention on intently seeking the face of the Lord, of humbling ourselves and praying, and pledging to turn from our wicked ways. And thank God for the new covenant. Thank God we know our Father hears us from heaven and has accepted the blood sacrifice and atonement provided so lovingly by Yeshua the Messiah. You can seek him now, today. You don't have to wait. The atonement has been made. Seek his face. Seek his shining face. And may he make his face shine upon you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the benefits of your shining face. I pray that it will shine upon all of us as we walk out our lives with you, and as we come to the holy, high holy days. We pray you'll hear our prayer, that we will humble ourselves, and you will save our nation and save our people. And I pray you'll bless each one in the name of Yeshua, Lord. Amen.